Hallelujah. When Sue and I first started attending the prayer center in 1992, we were very broken people. For about 5 years, we had wandered aimlessly because we had, in our opinion, we got hurt real bad in the church. We're probably the only ones that ever happened to. But anyway, to us, it devastated us, and we, for about 5 years, you know, we attended this church, and not this church, I mean, a church, and then another church, and then another church. And there's a lot of good churches in Tulsa, there really is. But none of them felt like home, you know. And I didn't trust pastors anymore. I told Dave to his face the first time I got to talk with him, which was a while after we were here. I said, I don't trust you as far as I can throw you. I said, last pastor, I said, you seem like a nice fella, not going to hurt me, but so did the last guy that hurt me, and he was a pastor. And I know what it is to be broken and just almost without hope. And religion can do a number on you that few other things can, you know. Because if religion is able to get you to give up on God, then you're really a hopeless person. You got to remember, it was the spirit of religion that put Jesus on the cross. There is nothing worse on planet Earth than a religious spirit. Whether it goes under the name Christian, Muslim, Hindu, if it's a religious spirit, it's not life. It's not life. Jesus, He didn't come that we'd have the best religion. Is that what He said? I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. See, you came too late. I know we have naysayers leave all the time, and they say, well, this doesn't work, you know, it's praying in tongues and fasting and meditation and all of the things. It just doesn't work, you know. You came too late. You just came too late, you know. I know what shape we were in when we came. I know how broken we were, disheartened, really hopeless. And I know what happened when we started doing what we affectionately around here called the message. Giving lots of time to prayer, little tiny time to fasting. I'm supposed to be honest in church, right? Do more. I'm doing better these days, you know. Really am. Yes, sir. And I will say this. What knowledge I had was pretty much I was a product of the Word of Faith movement. Now, when you say that today in 2014, people, there's like a wall that goes up, and they don't want to. It's like they've thrown out the baby with the bathwater just because there's been some excess. But I'll tell you what, I'll be saying this the next time you see me. I thank God for the true Word of Faith, because it saved my life. I would not have made it. I would have died of melanoma cancer before we ever found the prayer center in 1990. You know, when the doctors give you 6 months to live, you better have something. You better have something to hang on to. And thank God we had just enough of the Word of Faith in us that I knew I did not have to accept that. Now, see, the religion, just this very week, I had a discussion with somebody and said, well, who was it? It doesn't matter. Somebody who loves God, but they've been bamboozled. Is that a good word? Bamboozled by a religious spirit, you know. And they're all confused about whether God will heal them and whether God will do this or will do that. And I just plainly told the guy, I says, you've never seen Jesus. That made him mad. I said, no, I said, you've read about Him, but you haven't seen Him yet. And I don't mean like in a vision. You haven't, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not in you yet to where Jesus walks off the pages and into your heart. Now, you can meditate Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One day, Jesus, I think that's pretty good wording right there. He'll walk off those pages and into your heart. And He'll become your healer in a way that nobody can talk you out of it. He'll become your provider in a way that nobody can talk you out of it. He'll become your Lord in a way that nobody can talk you out of it. And He'll tell you to do stuff that the world, and especially the religious world, will tell you is not possible. And you'll say, get behind me, Satan. He told me to do it, and bless God, I'm doing it. And he'll enable me to do it too in Jesus' name. Well, anyway, getting back to what he's wanting to. Again, he's got me on a short rope, okay? I can't take a whole lot of rabbit trails. We were definitely a product of the Word of Faith, and that's really all I knew. To be honest with you, I was exactly one of those, not popsicle, what do you call it, lollipop Christians that Dave talks about. You know, the kind that has the gooey center, the round, it's got a big round top, and the little skinny stick. What do you call it? Tootsie Roll Pop, perfect. Yeah, Tootsie Roll Pop, you know. Well, I was one of those, you know, all full of head knowledge, you know. But my spirit was as skinny as that little stick. You know, it was all head knowledge. But at least even that was enough that I got it. Thank God, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Even in that condition, it was enough to survive cancer, you know. Now, I'm not going to focus on that part, but I will focus on this. When we arrived, that's about all I knew, Word of Faith. What do you mean by that? I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe the Word of God is the final say-so in my life. Am I talking to anybody here? Anybody know where I'm coming? And, you know, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he saith shall come to pass. That man shall have whatsoever he saith. And when you stand praying, forgive. So forth and so on. That was me. And God had used us in various endeavors that we had worked on during that the first 12 years that we were saved and spirit-filled. We could Shondai right along with the rest of them. We hardly ever did. We didn't know there was a reason to. We were involved in prison ministry for 6 years, saw tremendous things happen, had a lot of other things happen over the years. Sue's mother, at one time, she's with Jesus now in heaven. I don't guess it hurts anything now. She had a problem with alcohol for quite a few years. And in a Bible study that we were having, we saw her in a vision. And we spoke what we saw, and that very next day she was delivered from alcohol for the rest of her life. You know, we saw stuff. Tell me. We saw things, you know, but that's who I was. So we started coming to the prayer center again. I was long-haul driving. I was not physically here very much. Sue came all the time and would get the tapes for me, and I'd listen to them. And when I was in town, I was here just like I am now. But eventually I got to have a little time with Dave. Now we're talking 4 or 5 years after we're here. And I remember talking with him one time about faith. And Dave, you know, in those days, he doesn't do it so much now, but in those days he'd say, "You old timers, you're going to enjoy this." He'd say, "My underwear is made out of a Tulsa faith flag." Y'all remember? How many of you remember those days? He says, "I tell you, I am a faith man. I believe the Word of God. I'm not moved by what I see, you know." And I'm going, "Yeah, I knew I liked that preacher right there, you know." But then when I got to talk with him, he said, "Gary, that's all good." He said, "It's good to be a faith man. It's good to have faith in the Word of God." He said, "The trouble with a lot of faith people, though, is they don't really know how to find God's direction for their life." He says, they'll do a lot of things for God, but it's pretty well directed out of their own mind. You know, they're making their own decisions. And so maybe they've chosen a path to ministry, even a path of ministry, like me. Let's just see, my dad, God bless my little Baptist daddy. He's a good Baptist daddy all the days of his life. And he would have been so happy if I just would have given up all this foolishness and just pastored a nice little Baptist church somewhere. You know, it would have made him so happy. And I could have chosen that path even after I could have chosen to go ahead and do that. God would have blessed it all that he can. You can't even give a cup of cold water in his name and lose your reward. I mean, he would have blessed it, but that's not the path. Can y'all pretty well know that's not really the path that God had for me? Dave says that's the problem, though. You'll come up with a path. You'll make a decision, even with the best of intentions. Reminds me of the good intentions that Tim taught us about. But it's not God's path. And he says, so you'll start down this path and God's going, you know, he's sending angels holding signs beside the road, wrong way. You know, You get this icky on the inside. You know, every day it's kind of like you don't know what's wrong, but it's kind of like taking a bath with your socks on. There's just something not right, you know. Just something's not right. I don't know what it is. Well, you're on the wrong path. He said, it's good to be a faith man, Gary. But he says, what's better, don't lose everything that you know about faith. But what's better is become a man who's led by the Spirit of God. Become a man who finds out how to hear the voice of the Lord by the Holy Spirit and follow Him. Of course, now I would add visions and dreams. Just learn to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He says, then once you're on the path that God ordained, that's when you draw out everything you know for about faith, because you know already the devil's going to throw up every roadblock, every storm, everything that can happen trying to stop you. That's when you become that person, I'm not moved by what I see. You know, you're kicking all the obstacles out of the way in Jesus' name. I remember those early days, you know, people with a religious inclination. I'll say it that way. They'll say, oh, if it's God, He opens doors that no man can shut. If it's really God, you can tell by the circumstances. Everything will just open right up for you on that path. How many of you have found the exact opposite to be the case, you know? What I've found is when I find God's path and He says, go that way, and I start going that way, the first sound I hear is the devil slamming every door on that path, and I got to kick them down in Jesus' name, you know? Faith man, see? So we spend a long time. I mean, you know, the testimony we have, God had me in the perfect job for this. I was that long haul trucking and a guy that needed to catch up. I was approaching 50. I was 45 years old the day we first walked through the prayer center. I didn't have decades to waste, you know. So God had me in the perfect job. I mean, I could pray 40, 50, 60 hours a week and get paid to do it. Glory to God. Good job, you know. Man, I started, and here it goes, and it seems agonizingly slow while you're doing it, and the devil's telling you nothing is happening. No, you're just wasting your breath. You'd be better off to mow the lawn, anything, you know. I know that's a devil. Anyway. Yes, sir. Okay. I love telling these stories so much, but he's got me on a short rope. I'll go ahead and tell you now, so that way I have to come back to it. What he's doing right now is really, you know, Alan is so sweet and nice, isn't he? Don't y'all like Alan? Isn't he gentle? I'm not as gentle as Alan. But it's Alan's messages with a kick in the rump in it. Because what I'm hearing from him is, we're going to get more aggressive with our faith. See, we've been at this a while. If you're not careful, you'll wind up starting to get a little bit complacent. Well, if it's God, if it's God, you know. I had an encounter again with somebody who really loves God. If he hears this, I don't want to insult him at all. He really loves God. But there's some religious issues. Said to me on the phone, well, if God wants to heal me, He will. I said, oh, really? Is that the way He saved you too? Just woke up saved, did you? Didn't you have to get out of your seat and didn't you have to approach Him and confess your sins and so forth and so on, you know? Didn't you have something to do with that? Go ahead and open to Mark 5. A very familiar passage. It's good. Listen, He's got you in the right place. Hearing the right message, and if you're doing what is taught here, you are hearing the plan of God for your life. If you're not yet, you will. Because the Holy Ghost is better at what He does than you are bad at what you do. I like to say He is smarter than I am dumb. Even for me, I can get it if I just keep at it long enough with Him. He's good enough, He'll get even me, I'll get it. Okay? But now when you get it, and you start stepping out to obey Him, you better have a little faith about you. And it better not be that passive kind. Well, I'll just sit here till all the obstacles go away. Well, you'll be sitting there the next time I see you. You know? I say all the time, He's never yet called me to do anything I could afford. He talks to me like I have money and stuff. He talks to me like He's going to take care of it. You know, like He can actually do this. And He expects me to believe Him. What's that called, people? It's called faith. And obedience is when you step out in faith. Now, I started to do this real slick and cool. Trouble is, I'm not very slick and cool. But I thought about not even telling you where we was going here and just saying, you know, I want y'all to pray for this lady. It's a lady I've become aware of, and she's really got a serious blood issue. And she's been going to the doctor for years and years, and then they would send her to the next clinic because they had a specialist. But then, you know, it costs money. She keeps spending her money, and then that clinic couldn't help her, and they send her to the next one. And this went on for years and years and years, and now even the doctors have just sent her home to die. And she calls for the priest or the preacher, you know, and they're just saying, well, if it's God's will, you know. See, that's kind of setting it up in modern times. That's not any different from this lady here in Mark 5. It's exactly what happened to her. We'll actually pick it up because we'll probably use Jairus here too, but let's pick it up in Mark 5, verse 21. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him. And He was nigh unto the sea, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Him, he fell at His feet, and besought Him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. Now notice, and much people. That's not in there for no reason. I want you to get a mental picture of Jesus walking through the town. However, I don't know exactly how to picture it. You know, I don't know. If you saw Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ, and that city where they shot that in, that's probably pretty close, you know, what it was like. And pretty narrow streets. But the people thronging, maybe thousands, thronging all around Him. Much people followed Him and thronged Him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, look to somebody and say out loud, 12 years. It's one thing if you've been suffering with something for 6 months. A year for most people is really a long time. But to have something that you've been unable to get past, an illness, something serious, 12 years. You know, something starts settling into your mind. Well, this is just the way it's going to be. Notice here it says she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. Now she's broke. Even if there was somebody, some clinic or something somewhere that could help her, she doesn't have any more money. I try and picture what that would be like. Yes, sir. After Sue and I were going here, I developed a heart condition called supraventricular tachycardia. There is no cure for it. It's the opposite of arrhythmia. Most people are familiar with arrhythmia, where your heart misses a beat once in a while. Well, what this does, it does a super beat every once in a while. And if it just does it once, you'll get lightheaded. You ever have just a moment of dizzy, just for a moment? And that's not really dangerous. But if you start having those super beats in sequence, bam, 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 you'll black out. And for you old timers that remember Looney Tunes, you remember Porky Pig at the end? Ibbidi, 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 ibbidi. That's all folks, and how, you know, it would go, the screen would go black, you know, remember how it would go? That is exactly what happened. I'm telling you, it just went and about that same quick. And you black out, which is not good if you're driving an 80,000 pound rig. You know, it's not good. And the doctors, they told me that that there is no cure at all. There's nothing they can do to fix it. If you, once you have it till you die. And they said, we can regulate it. They put me on this real strong medicine called Verapamil. That's the generic name. And sure enough, that worked. As long as I took the Verapamil, then, you know, my heart would beat. I didn't have any more Looney Tunes. Whoop, you know. But when you read the all that, you know, they give you all those papers when you get the prescription filled, you know. There's like 6 pages of little bitty print. You got to get a magnifying glass to read it. Well, some of the side effects, the worst one there was, it really accelerates the onslaught of arthritis, which is not what I need going into my 50s, you know. So I wanted, you know, now, I know it's probably not as severe as what she had, but it's similar in some ways. The doctors were saying there's no hope. Learn, what they're saying is, accept this. Learn to live with this. There is nothing that can be done. And if I went to those that love God that I grew up with, and I got their counsel, they would say, well, God can heal, but you just never know if He will heal. So just, the appropriate thing to do is just trust the Lord, Gary, and if He wants to heal you, He'll heal you. Well, that's sure not the way He saved me. Let's see if that's the way, the approach that that this lady took here. Now, she had spent all she had, 12 years. Well, I better finish my... No, okay, I'll come back to me in a minute. 12 years. That's a long time. There's no doubt she went from doctor to doctor. Every specialist, whatever they had in the day, none of them can help her. In fact, they all... She just kept getting worse. Okay? Then she ran out of money. Now, starting to get really helpless. You know, and this woman, she's a Jewish lady. I imagine she went to synagogue, don't you imagine? So she would hear the word of God. She would hear what they had, the prophecies and everything, you know. I wonder what they would... When they would read from the Old Covenant, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will bless thy bread, bless thy water. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. I wonder what they said when they read that. I know whatever they said, it wasn't enough to produce faith in her. Verse 27. But when she had heard of Jesus. Now, we just read by that so quick. Whoever it was, however she heard, somebody gave her a report about Jesus. And it was more than He can heal. See, when you tell people about Jesus, I want you to impart faith to them that not only can He heal, bless God, He will heal you. And if you need healing yourself, He will heal you. In case you haven't heard, the way it turned out, I got in the line. Dave prayed for me. I felt the power of God. I went sliding into the front row like I was going into second base. You know, bam. I went home and flushed all my medicine down the toilet because a healed man doesn't take no medicine. We'd had a guy here giving his testimony about a week before it did that. Sounded good to me. Flushed that medicine right down the toilet. 7 days later, Looney Tunes, zoop, bam, passed out in the bathroom. When I come to us a week, I couldn't even get up. All I could do, my hand was laying against the wall, and with all I could do was take my finger and thump against the wall till Sue finally heard me. I couldn't get up, couldn't move, I was weak, felt like I was going to die. And I was totally confused now. Because I'm a faith man. Dave prayed for me, bless God. Felt the power of God go right through me. Threw my medicine away. And nearly died. Dave, help me. Totally confused. I'll never forget what he said. He said, I'm always trying to use that gentle voice that Dave has. Gary. You know how he does that? Gary. Don't say. No, that's another time. Anyway. Gary. God is not obligated to manifest your healing because you threw your medicine away. God is obligated to manifest your healing when you believe His Word. Now, I'd already been preaching here just a little bit, and he said to me, your problem is you don't believe your own teaching. Oh, dagger in my heart. What? He says, you need to get your prescription refilled and take it faithfully. Whatever the doctors say, that's what you need to do. But every time you take it, because he'd heard me teach on confession, and I did believe in confession, but I hadn't been doing confession. Are you hearing me? Am I being honest? I had not been doing, although I had done it before and seen results before, on this one I was not doing it. See, you can't live on your past victories. Devil, even with Jesus, said he left for a season. And in Amplified, I think it says, till a more opportune time. He's going to come back around again. You can't live off your past victories. You better know how to take up the sword the next time. So he says, every time you take that medicine, he says, I want you to, or what you should do, if you're going to do your own teaching, you start confessing the word. Get you a few scriptures, and then take the medicine. You confess the word like medicine, just like it's true. Then talk to your heart. You know what to do. He says, talk to it. You're supposed to talk to the mountain. Call your heart normal. Call it normal. Yes, sir. I am a man under authority, you know. So I did exactly that. I refilled it. Now, see, again, if you're not careful, all your friends and relatives will say, no, that's just crazy. God is sovereign, don't you know? He'll heal you if He wants to. Your confession has got nothing to do with it. Just chill. Trust God, they say. Yeah. See, that's called lazy, nonchalant faith. And I don't find anywhere in the Bible where God honors that. Kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You know? So I started doing exactly that. In the beginning, I know I had to take that Verapamil 4 times a day. And every time I'd take it, I'd quote me a few verses. I have a few favorites. I said a few of them there a while ago. Lord, I thank you. I got the pill in my hand. I thank you, Lord, for this medicine. I thank you that you put medicine in the earth to help me, Father. Lord, I thank you that you bless my bread, bless my water, and you take sickness away from the midst of me. You are Jehovah Rapha, my healer. I thank you and worship you, God. Father, I know himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains, and with his stripes I am healed. I thank you, Lord. Heart, I'm talking to you. I call you normal. Now, I didn't do it necessarily out loud like that at Walmart, okay? I did it at home sometimes like that. But I did do it even at Walmart. I said, confess my... Thank you, Lord, you're my healer. I thank you, and I take my medicine, you know. And I did it 4 times a day. I took the scriptures in the same way that I took the medicine. I mean, you know his word is like medicine unto you. See? Now, that went on for 6 months without any change whatsoever. Say out loud, 6 months. Say 6 months is not 1 week. 6 months is not 1 month. Say it. See, you like hearing this story until you have to go 6 months doing something. Then it's like it don't work because it didn't happen in 2 weeks. Well, I don't know why 6 months. I'm not telling you it'll take 6 months. I'm just telling you my testimony. You tell yours when you get healed. After 6 months, I heard him just as plain as anything say, skip every third dose of that medicine. So I worked out a schedule. I started skipping every third dose. Still, every time I took it, I would confess the scriptures, speak to my heart. That went on for 6 months. I heard him say, just take every other dose. So now I'm down to 2 a day. Then it was 6 months, it was 1 a day. And at the end of that 6 months, ran out of pills. I was going to go get it filled again. And I heard him say, don't fill that prescription. You're healed. You'll never need that medicine again. That was May of 1998. This is March of 2014. I'd say that's a fairly good track record. Now, I have had two or three attempts of the enemy to circle around and try and give me another Looney Tunes moment. But I knew what to do. I recognized it, and I stood my ground. And I said, no, I resist you. You got to resist the devil like you would a rattlesnake. No, I know who you are. Get away from me. I will not receive this. Leave me. And it did. Now, see, I believe if I had passive faith like the spirit of religion will try and get you to do, I think I would have died of cancer in 1990 of melanoma. If I would have survived that, I think if I had that passive kind of faith where you don't do anything, just, oh, if he wants to heal me, he'll heal me, I think I'd still be taking that medicine and it'd probably be so arthritic by now I couldn't hardly move, you know. God honors aggressive faith. Let's look at this woman again here. Verse 26, when she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That's a point of contact that she came up with on her own. I don't know how she came up with that. But whatever it is, it worked. Oral Roberts used to say, release your faith. Release your faith. Take a moment. There needs to be a point of contact, something that you hang your hat on. For me, usually it's when I pray the prayer of faith. That's why I use the ring binder, something I can write it down on. It's a point of contact for me, something I can handle and touch. This is when I prayed. This is when I believed I received, and I shall have it. In Jesus' name. Okay. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, and that the Greek word there is dunamis. It's just plain old power. It's where we get the word dynamite from. Dunamis had gone out of him. Now, how did it go out of him? Because of the Holy Ghost. Jesus did no miracles before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost did no miracles before he was connected with Jesus through that baptism. Jesus is the agent of authority. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power. Jesus is the last Adam, the last man Adam, and he has been anointed with that dominion. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, you know him, he's with you, but he shall be in you. I think we're going to be feeling that power going out of us too. See, apparently it's something you can feel when it happens. See, on myself, I've almost trained myself not to, I started to say be led by the anointing, but I don't really mean it that way. I have seen some of the most spectacular miracles in these 20 some odd years. When I felt no anointing at all. I mean, and there's been times when I could feel it. How many of you was in Houston that time that I was drunk? I mean, I've never been that drunk on liquor. I was the drunkest thing. They were holding me up, and I got so drunk I couldn't even lay my hand on people anymore. So they would take my hand and put it on people, and it goes splat. Now, yeah, I felt it there. And all kinds of things happen too. But I've also seen it happen like that woman that got healed of cancer in the early days of our ministry. I never felt so dry, so cold, so when I try and describe what it felt like, you know, when I laid my hands on that person. Do you ever lay a dead fish on a doorknob? Nothing. I mean nothing. That lady's in full-time ministry today with her before x-rays and her after x-rays, showing how she was so full of cancer and now she's healed. And her message is, what he did for me, he'll do for you. But apparently you can feel that anointing when it goes out of you. Jesus did. So Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter," get this, "thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now see, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There is a true word of faith. We need to be faith people. When we tell people about Jesus, it needs to have the same effect on them as it had on this lady when somebody told her about Jesus. I don't mean a maybe so pie in the sky, there may be a slim, small chance he might heal you. That's not what motivated her. What whoever told her about Jesus got her out of the house, got her on her feet, and got her after her miracle. I like how Alan says, we're going to change the world. How many of you believe that? I believe it. I don't believe we're going to do it with passive, nonchalant, sitting around faith. Now, we've been praying, fasting. I can say it boldly now. Meditating. Worshiping. And as you get his instructions, he's not calling you to sit there and wait till all the obstacles are gone off of that path that he's sending you on. He's calling you to go kick every obstacle off of that path. Calm the storm if the devil sends one. Do whatever is required, but you're going to the other side. We're going to revival. Slopety floors, wore out carpet, ugly old cars in the driveway, in the parking lot, it doesn't matter at all. We are going to the other side. We are going to have revival. And we are a people that will have what he said we can have. But it's this kind of faith. I like this kind of faith. If I can just touch his clothes. I'm not a scholar on the Jewish customs. I'm told that because of her issue of blood, she wasn't even supposed to be out of the house in public, if I remember right. But she says Jesus is bigger than law. Did you get that? He's bigger than that. I'm going. And I'm going to get my healing. Well, amen. Right now I'm thinking of the message I did, a few years back, called Intercession by Faith. If you have never heard that message, it is available at Dave's website, my website. It might be several years old now, but it's Intercession by Faith. I've never heard it preached anywhere else in my life. But it's where the centurion came. Remember that centurion? That's a Roman officer of 100 men. He's not even a Jew. He has no covenant with God. But he comes to Jesus to get healing for his servant. And the Bible is conspicuously silent about that servant. We don't know if he was a good man, a bad man. Don't know anything about him at all. Well, he's probably sick because he ate wrong. Maybe, but none of it mattered. See, we get hung up on stuff. The guy's sick. Can he get healing from the Lord? Yes. Intercession by faith. And the Lord said, I've not even found this great a faith in Israel. That man, he came. Now you got to know, when they come to Jesus, I want you to know what that's for. Jesus is the Word of God with legs. Jesus is the Word you can see. You know, the prophets, they all prophesied about, and God would speak through the prophets, and that's how we have His Word from the Old Testament. God would speak, God would speak. I am the healer, I am your provider, I am your presence, I am your defender. God would speak all this stuff, but hardly anybody would believe it. So God says, I know what I'll do. I'll send my Word so they can see my Word. Jesus didn't come just to tell us. He come to show us. You want to know the Word of God? Look at Jesus. Well, you can come to God's Word and get your healing. You can come to God's Word and get healing for your servant. Today we'd say employee. You can come to God's Word like that Canaanite woman. She had a daughter possessed with a devil. She didn't have a covenant with God either. You know, He says, healing is the children's bread. She didn't have a covenant yet. That was before the cross. She said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She wasn't going to be. She knew God was bigger than the law. God was bigger than that covenant. God had healing for her. And He says, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Thy daughter is made whole even from this hour. Glory to God. Intercession by faith. We don't know anything about that daughter. She may have been rebellious. Talk back. I don't know what all. Then again, she might have been real nice. The point is, it doesn't matter. She needed healing. That's what mattered. And you can get it. But it's not that kind of faith that says, well, if the Lord wants to heal her, He will. Well, good Lord. Good Lord, yeah. How many of you know it says He's not willing that any perish? I mean, the Lord wants everybody saved, but you notice that doesn't mean they just all automatically get saved. You got a part to play in this. And I feel a spiritual kick in the hiney coming to the prayer center. I look around the room, I know history of a lot of people. No, I'm looking. Praying. You know, we haven't had a lot of fellowship. I don't know what all the Lord's been saying to you, but I know He's been saying something. Now, there comes a point when you hear what He says, and you're either going to obey it, or you're not. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? I pray again. He's always kind of mean to me and nice to you. You know, I'm the example. Man, we heard this message. I got so excited about it. I listened, but I didn't trust Dave any further than I could throw him. So for about 6 months, I mean, I'm a good student. Anybody that's around me, you find out pretty quick. I am a good student, and I dissect those messages. Man, I had a lot of time coming back from those trips in airports. There'd be delays, and man, every verse that he would use in that message, I would look them up, and even then I knew enough to look them up in context a little bit. I didn't know like I knew later. And I did that for 6 months before I ever trusted him at all to start doing it. And I just went, told Sue, I said, I cannot find anything wrong with what the man's teaching. Everything that he says seems to fit in the context. I said, you know, I think I'm just going to give this a shot. Now see, the thing of it is, with Gary, any of you that's around me very much, you'll find out I have absolutely no quitting sense. Now I'm like an old mule. It may take me a while. I may dig in my heels. You trying to get me to go that way, I'll dig in my heels because I'm not sure yet, you know. But boy, once I make up my mind and I start pulling the plow is going to get pulled. And I don't have no quitting sense, see. And I started. And I was in the cab of that truck. I just started praying. Everything that Dave had said began to happen just the same way that he said it. I'll have a few every year, let me say it that way, that write me. And I don't have any answer for this. They say, a few, not me. They'll say, I did that and nothing happened. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. I don't want to say you're lying. But that's my tendency. Because everyone, I know it worked for me. And the Lord's not a respecter of persons. Trust me, if it works for me, it'll work for just about anybody. You know? So, I have a hard time with that. Well, the woman got what she came for, didn't she? What about Jairus? Let's look at him for a minute. So Jesus again said to the woman in verse 34. He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Man, what a... I hope in heaven there's a videotape. Probably be something a lot better than videotape. I hope there's a way that we can see what the rest of her life was like. I'd like to know what the next 12 years were like. You reckon she became an evangelist? Now, maybe not with a fivefold ministry, but you reckon she told everybody? What about all the people that knew her? For 12 years, they'd known her. And now she's free? How did that happen? Let me tell you about Jesus. Anyway, verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" And see, now that's kind of the ultimate end, isn't it? All hope is gone now. That's worse than a bad doctor's report. Coroner's report is always worse than a doctor's report. Notice, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he didn't wait. He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid." What did he say? "Only believe." One of the heroes that I really look up to in my life, he died the year I was born, is Smith Wigglesworth. And they say he was a big old English fella, barrel-chested guy, plumber, you know, before he became a minister. They talk about the miracles that the Lord did through him. He would pray and cancers would fall off on the floor right in front of the people. You know, just splat on the stage. Glory to God. He said he really couldn't sing very well, but he loved to sing. You hear that, Dave? Let Gary sing once in a while. Anyway, I'm going to anyway. You know what his favorite song was? "Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe." Well, if we get there, what did he say? "Don't you be afraid. I don't care what the report is. I don't care how final. I don't care what the world says. Only believe." We usually go to Matthew 17 when we're studying about the epileptic or lunatic boy that they tried to cast the devil out of and they couldn't cast it out. And the reason we go there is because Jesus gives the cure for unbelief, the formula if you want to get rid of unbelief. Now, they couldn't cast it out, but Jesus did cast it out. And they said, "Well, why didn't it happen when we prayed?" And he said, "Because of your unbelief." Oh, boy, that's great to hear. Because of your unbelief. But then he tells them later on, he says, "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." Well, this kind of what? That kind of big bad devil? No. That kind of unbelief, the kind you don't even know you have, comes out by prayer and fasting. But we normally go to Matthew's account because of that. But see, in Mark and Luke's account, we get a little more information. That boy, the father of that boy to Jesus said, "If you can do anything, help us. I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't. If you can do anything, help us." Jesus turns right around to him and he says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." What did he say here? "Be not afraid. Only believe." Believe what? Believe what you said when you first came. "Lay your hands on my daughter. She shall be healed and she shall live." Do not change what you already said. Do not alter the thing that has gone out of your mouth. A big part of the church, we're going to have a message one of these days where you're going to learn the art of shut up. Shut up. Speak the truth, speak God's word, and then shut up and watch the glory of God. And he suffered no man to follow him except save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult. Trust me, every situation you're ever in, there's lots of tumulters. It's easy to tumult. Them that wept and wailed greatly. Tell you, if you're in a fight for your life, the last thing you need is some good old religious boy putting his arm around your shoulders and telling you it's going to be okay. Just trust God. Well, if you have spoken the truth and holding fast to it, that's true. But if what he's telling you is just don't do anything, sit there on your blessed assurance. I had, quite a few years ago, an aunt dying of brain cancer. And she was probably the busiest person in the church for, I'm going to say, half a century. You know what they say is, if you want something to get it, if you want to get it done, give it to a busy person. That was my Aunt Betty. If you wanted to get it done, give it to her. She was on every committee, everything. She was the first to volunteer, and she was good at it. She was an organizer type person, loved God, would do anything for God. But she sat under that teaching for all of her life. Where, you know, it's basically, well, you just never know. You have to just trust God whether He'll heal you or not. You just never know what God might do. So when brain cancer, when the devil attacked my Aunt Betty with brain cancer to take her off the earth, is that plain enough? I wanted to get down there and cast the devil out. I want you to know they locked arms and would not let me in the room. Would not let me. It said some of the nastiest things I've ever heard said. How dare I? Who do I think I am to oppose the will of God? Religion is what put Jesus on the cross. The spirit of religion is opposite of the spirit of life. Spirit of religion will kill you and those around you. I never did get to pray for her. I don't know if I could have got that devil out or not. But I know there was a good chance. Well, she went on to be with Jesus. I know she's there. I forgave the people that wouldn't let me in there. But, you know, today the same thing would happen. Because they're sitting under that same doctrine. Same thing. If they hear this, they're going to get mad at me again. And I don't care. I mean, I don't like it, but I don't care. Real embarrassing for my dad, by the way. If you love Father more than me, you got to stay with the truth no matter what. It's his sister. Anyway, the tumulters, trust me. I'll tell you what I want to phrase it differently. I pray to my Lord that He never catches me sitting around somewhere tumulting to other people about my problems. I pray I never bring such shame to His name. Oh, the weeping and the wailing, and oh, it's been so bad, and I don't know why, and everybody, shut up. Rise up in faith, put the word of God in your mouth, and go take the land in Jesus' name. Tumulting and wailing. So when he was come in, he said unto them, now you're going to notice Jesus does not talk normal. The woman is plainly dead. What did it say back here in verse 35? Thy daughter is what? Dead. You think Jesus knows that? Hello. Yes, he knows that. But notice how he talks. When he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. He said the same thing about Lazarus that time, you know. They were all scared to death. He was going to take them back to Bethany, was it? Where they, you know, the Jews were wanting to kill him. And he's talking about going back, and they're going, do you remember that the Jews recently were trying to kill you down there? He said, well, Lazarus is asleep. And they're going, well, good. If he's sleeping, he'll get better. We don't have to go. He finally had to tell them, Lazarus has died. You know? Jesus doesn't talk normal. He calls those things that be not as though they were. He says, the woman's asleep. I think I'll go with him. And they laughed him to scorn. Boy, the world will always laugh the Word of God to scorn. You start speaking God's Word and talking like His Word is true and talking like God will actually do stuff, they'll laugh you to scorn. They did him. Look at that. They laughed him to scorn, the tumulters, the weepers and the wailers. Okay, I'm going to do it. Jesus, you're an idiot. You hillbilly from Nazareth? You don't have enough sense to know the woman's dead? What's wrong with you? We're laughing you to scorn, you ignorant hillbilly. That's what they were doing. It hurts me to even say that, but that, I want you to understand, same thing they're going to do with you. My God supplies all my need. Well, it don't look like it. I'm not asking by what it looks like. I'm asking what God said. He said He supplied all my needs. That's the end of it. Quiet in here. Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Oh, that hurts me. Laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he should have put them out too. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something be given her to eat. Now, listen. I'm remembering right now a story of Smith Wigglesworth. I'm going to tell this one. You can read it in his books. The book's written about him. I remember one time he was, like Jesus was delayed a little bit getting to Jairus' house. Smith was delayed a little bit getting to this certain house. When he got there, they said, you've come too late. The person you've come to pray for is already dead. I don't remember now if it was a man or a woman. It doesn't matter. Said, it's too late. They're already dead. You know what he said? God never sends me anywhere too late. Where have you laid that person? They took him into the room. There the person is laying. I don't remember if it was male or female. I remember this part. He gets the person, lifts them up, stands them against the wall and says, live. Live. Let's go of them, and they crumple to the floor. For most of us, that's the end of that tune. Isn't that right? That's good enough for me. We're out of here. You know, embarrassment enough. Not Smith. Picks that person up, stands them against the wall. I said, live. Let go, crumple to the floor again. And if I remember, it was the third time. Just put him up against the wall. Live, I said, in Jesus' name. Breath came into their body. Started talking. My goodness, what are we in for? We're in for a ride. We're in for something the world has not seen in about 2,000 years. And I've got to be God's favorite that I'm here. That I'm a part of it with my old car and the slopety floors and the raggedy carpet. And here with all you bankers and lawyers and rich people. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by any of that, are you? Better hang on to your chair. Learn to pray forgiveness now for the person that takes it. Because I'm telling you, we're in for a ride. Yes, sir. I do have this instruction. Go to John 14. John 14. Homework assignment. Seriously. I'm supposed to end with this. It won't take 2-3 minutes. I think Alan, in one of his recent messages, said that the Lord was going to have us start speaking our future. How many of you remember that message? Start speaking our future. This is kind of based on that. But I felt like the Lord was saying He wants to give you a homework assignment to start practicing at home. It's called renewing the mind. Okay? John 14, look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now here's your assignment. Make those three verses into a positive, present tense, now confession, and start saying it. Say it like this. We'll just practice. Lord, I believe on you. The works that you do, I do those same works. And I can even do greater works because you go to the Father. I want everybody to hear this. Whatever I ask in your name, you do it so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. Anything I ask in your name, you will do it. I'm telling you, you walk the floor and say that for a while, and then walk the floor later and say it some more, and then the next day you do it. You start doing that, something is going to start changing on the inside of you. When you speak, there's going to be an authority that was not there before. We're going to start. Yes, sir. All right. That isn't enough. Okay, go over to chapter 16, verse 23. I'll read the verses first, and we're going to do the same thing again. Here's the verses. John 16, 23 and 24. The verses say, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So let's say it this way. Jesus, I don't need you to pray for me. Whatever I ask the Father in your name, he will give it to me. I can pray directly to the Father in your name, and he will give it to me. So I ask, and I receive, and my joy is made full. Glory to God. Now here's a startling revelation. This is going to rock your boat. Going to heat your chili and spin your prop. Here's deep cometh, get a hold of something. This is deep calleth unto deep now. I double dog dare you to say it out loud. I'll say it first. I don't want you to say something you don't know what I'm going to say. Here it is. He answers my prayers. When I pray, he answers. He answers my prayers. When I pray, he answers. Glory to God. Now you're speaking your future. That's the truth. Say this with me. I am no longer a passive Christian. My faith is active. The kingdom of God suffers violence. And I take it by force. I have what I say. I believe in my heart that what I say comes to pass. When I speak to the mountain, whatever the mountain is, It obeys me every time in Jesus' name. What things soever I desire, when I pray, I believe I receive them. And I have them every time. In Jesus' name. Yeah. What would happen? You walk the floor and speak that, talk like that for a while. You really are prophesying your future right there. You're prophesying revival. I'm excited about what's coming. Father, I just thank you. I feel that release now. Father, I obeyed you best I know how. Father, by your Spirit, seal this. Every person that's here and every person that's listening, whether they're listening now or in the future, Holy Spirit, you're there. Seal this in them. That we never be accused or never be found guilty, rather, of being passive when it comes to our faith. We are aggressive with our faith because we have come to take the land for Jesus. Father, in His name we pray. Amen. Amen.